And once again, it's a privilege to be in his presence. So let's go to the word of God. And we are on the gifts of God and we are on the gifts of healings. Gifts of healings. The particular thing about when Apostle Paul mentions about the gifts of healings is he mentioned the plural gifts of healings. That means there are different categories of healings. There are different aspects of healing. And I taught you, I have already covered the gifts of healing a lot, but that is still yet to cover. And I told you the doctrine or the understanding that everyone should be healed. And if you have some problem, it is not from God. It's not biblical. So we will not go into that. I already told you the categories from the scripture where God can minister to you healing through the gift of healing. And the categories where God would not allow or that are not eligible to be healed. So the last time we ended was, we saw from the scripture that there are infirmities that are allowed in someone's life, not to bring a limitation or torment to the person, but for the person to remember that he is just a human being and the grace of God is working through him. We saw that in the life of Paul. And I told you the thorn in the flesh, all those things we saw. We saw that in the life of Timothy and how Apostle Paul being having the gift of healing through his handkerchiefs, people would get healed in the city of Ephesus. And there were a lot of healing miracles that were done through Apostle Paul. But when it came to the infirmity in 1 Timothy chapter number 5 verse 23 that his co-worker Timothy had, he said, use some wine, not to get drunk, but for the frequent infirmities that you have in your stomach. So we see that people are getting healed by Paul and revivals are coming in the city, but his co-worker Timothy was having a infirmity, a problem in the stomach in 1 Timothy chapter number 5 verse 23. So he asked him to use some wine for the healing and for that infirmity should be kept under control. Okay, so we saw all those aspects that sometimes some things are kept as a thorn in the flesh so that we may not be proud thinking that we are God and nothing will happen to us. And that happened to Apostle Paul because of the abundance of revelation that was given upon his life. God gave him a thorn in the flesh. I explained to you what was it. It was the problem of the eyes. So I will not go into that. Those who did not hear it can refer to the audios or to the sermons posted afterwards. Hallelujah. Okay, now, since Apostle Paul mentions gifts of healings, there are categories of the ministering of the gifts of healings. Now, we have to realize that when we come in the house of God, the house of God is a house of prayer. That is the primary purpose of the house of God, of the congregation of God's people. Even when Jesus first spoke about the church, it was through Peter's revelation about the Father, he spoke about the church. He said, I will give you the keys and I will build upon you. Peter, you are not Simon, but you will be Peter. That means rock. And I will build the church upon the ecclesia, upon the rock. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth will be loose in heaven. So when Jesus mentions about the house of God, listen to me. I'm not saying that we should not minister healing. We should minister healing, but let's get the right understanding. The same people coming for 10 years, 20 years, every day they have, today they got healed of headache, but tomorrow they got pain in their hand. Then again, they will come to the healing evangelist or to the pastor to get healed. Again, they get healed. And tomorrow, again, they have pain in the stomach. Again, they want to get healed. So the church is not a hospital, as many people say. The church is not a house of healing. The church is a house of prayer. And we will realize how healing is ministered when we study the scriptures properly, and when we realize the categories under which God allows the gifts of healing to be ministered. The categories under which God allows the gifts of healing to be ministered. Are we understanding until now? Hallelujah. There are gifts of the Holy Spirit. So all the gifts will not work, will not function when we want it to function. The gifts will go, the Holy Spirit is the owner of the gift. And the Holy Spirit will allow the gifts to flow through you when it is permitted by Him. When it is allowed by Him. When He wants, if you meet a person, maybe the person is sick and the person is having liver problem. But the Holy Spirit does not want you to flow in the gift of healing. But the Holy Spirit wants to flow you, have you flow in the gift of the word of knowledge. Because He wants to convict the person of giving up a sinful habit, that is drinking alcohol. Because he is addicted to alcohol. So are you understanding? So believers have to realize that we just can't function in the gifts however we want. Because we want someone to have that. We want someone to have this. We cannot. But we have to wait on the Lord when we are ministering the gifts of the Holy Spirit. When we are operating in the gifts of God. And He will give us the utterance. He will give us the permission. He will tell us what to do and what not to do. Are we understanding? That is a very important subject. And I'm going to take that when I'm coming to the gift of the working of miracles. Let's see when we will come there. So many people use the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They start to use the gifts of the Holy Spirit to please men. Let me make a disclaimer. The gifts of the Holy Spirit is not to expand your ministry. No. The gifts of the Holy Spirit is not to bring attention of people towards you. No. The gifts of the Holy Spirit is to reveal Christ to the people. The gifts of the Holy Spirit is to lead people to Christ. Are we understanding that? So there are many teachings on prophetic school, how to prophesy, how to do this, how to do that. And once you start to prophesy, people start to witness, you can say some things that are supernatural that common people cannot do. Your ministry will start. No. Ministry comes from God when He attests you. So the gifts of the Holy Spirit is not to start a ministry. The gifts of the Holy Spirit is not to expand a ministry. Are we understanding? The gifts of the Holy Spirit is to reveal Christ to people. And is to convict people that there is a supernatural power that comes from God and not from man. That is what the gifts are for. So now, we have to understand the categories of the ministering of the gifts of healing. The first category under which God allows the gifts of healings to be ministered, the first category is the Great Commission. Everyone say the Great Commission. The Great
Commission. The Great Commission.
Yes. The Great Commission is... When God allows, what is the Great Commission? Is to preach the gospel to every creature and to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So when God allows you and He tells you, you need to go to a place and you need to bring my word to them. When you go there, the gift of healing will flow through you. The Great Commission is one of the categories where God releases a mighty gift of healing through you to flow. Are we understanding? Deliverance to happen. Even there is not a gift of casting out demons as per the Bible. I am telling you. And I have taken casting out demons. There is not a deliverance ministry. I have told everything about that previously. I will not go into that. But the gift of healing will flow under the Great Commission. Let's look at the scripture. Luke chapter number 16, verse number 15 to 18. And He said to them, Let's go to Matthew chapter number 10 first. Matthew's chapter number 10, verse number 7 to 8. Matthew's chapter number 10, verse number 7 to 8. It says, "And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely you give." Hallelujah. That is the commission that Jesus commissioned his disciples when they went into the city to preach the gospel, to bring the good news to the people. What did he say? He said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out demons. That commandment, that anointing, or that gift followed with the Great Commission. Now let's see another scripture in the book of Mark. Come with me to the book of Mark. Mark chapter number 16, 1-6, verse number 15. Mark chapter number 16, verse number 15. "And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with what? New tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them, and they will lay hands on the sick, and they will what? Recover." So the gift of healing follows with the Great Commission. This is one of the category where the gift of healing will follow. You, maybe you are a pastor in a church, and you have been given the gift of healing. But you are like Moses. You are carrying the same 100 people or 200 people, whatever, for the past 25 years, 20 years. And you never saw yourself manifesting the gift of healing among those 200 people, because they already tasted Christ and they are already in Christ, and God has done miracles in their lives at a time. And now when God expects them to have faith for healing, they do not have faith for healing. But when God takes you and sends you to a city and tells you, you need to preach the gospel in that city, and commissions you, when you go there, you will see suddenly the gift of healing flowing through you, because the gift of healing operates under categories. Are we understanding? Stay with me. I am not saying the gift of healing does not operate in the church. The gift of healing also operates in the church. Let's say, for example, I did not knew Christ. I went to a healing crusade. An evangelist came in my city, and I had an infirmity in my body. And when the evangelist prayed for me, God healed me completely, and the infirmity was taken away, on account of which I accepted Jesus as my savior. I accepted Jesus as my savior, and I accepted Christ because God healed me. After that, God does some miracles in my life, and God, you know, and brings me into the kingdom. When he brings me into the kingdom, I start to know the Bible. I start to know the word. Then God expects me to exercise his authority through me and not to depend on anyone. So God expects of me to exercise my own faith. After, again, I would have some problems, and I cannot go and expect to get healed by someone in the healing crusade. God wants to teach me that you need to use my word now. These signs will follow everyone who believe. Are we understanding? So when we go, when we are under the Great Commission, the healing gift is ministered to the people who don't believe in Christ. They get healed. I have seen that, I am telling you. I have seen that. The healing gift is ministered to the people. I have seen people standing with me from 3 years, 4 years. They do not get healed. But people who are coming by faith, they start to get healed. They start to get healed. Because the people who are standing with me, they know Christ. They have tasted Christ. And they have come to a place where they are not using the authority of God given to them. So God is waiting on them that they will use the authority. Are we understanding that? Hallelujah. Amen. So the gift of healing that is ministered under the Great Commission. Let's come to Matthew's chapter number 4, verse number 23 to 25. Matthew's chapter number 4, verse number 23 to 25. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases among the people. Hallelujah. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. Jesus was operating under the Great Commission. He was preaching the gospel to the cities, and all the people who were brought to him, all of them, he healed all of them. Hallelujah. And I am telling you, many healing evangelists will come, use this word, and tell this word in the crusade. Jesus healed all the diseases. Jesus is all. That is true. But when they come in a church, Jesus healed all the diseases and tells everyone is eligible for healing. Everyone should get healed. That's not a general commandment that Jesus is doing. Now, after that, when you see Jesus went by the pool, he did not heal all. He healed one person by hearing the Lord. There were many sick people. Then, so Jesus's ministry, when the Lord wanted to bring the gospel and win a city, the healing gift will work mightily through Jesus. The same happened with the apostles. Acts chapter number 8, verse number 5 to 8. Acts chapter number 8, verse number 5 to 8. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them, a city where God sent Philip to preach Christ. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, heeding and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was a great joy in that city. Again, the gift of healing ministered under the Great Commission. Are we together? Hallelujah. The gift of healing ministered under the Great Commission. I just want to show you the picture that the gift of healing works mightily when God sends a person to a city to bring the gospel to that place. I witnessed that myself. One of the villages I went, I'm telling you, there were around 30-35 people, and all of them were unbelievers. Not one was left without healing. Everyone had some problem, and before going to that meeting, in the time of the night, I was sleeping in the time of the night, and then in the morning I had to travel to that remote village through broken roads. So when I was sleeping in the night, someone was taking the bed sheet. Someone was pulling the bed sheet. I said, "Who is it?" I got up. There was no one, but someone was pulling the bed sheet, but I could see no one. And then I got up and started to pray, I saw the gates of that village, and I saw the demons, and I saw the stronghold. The stronghold was under the ground in the farms in which those people worked. And the stronghold, which was under the ground, it contained snakes, spiritual snakes, and it existed because those people brought a sacrifice. That is what I saw in the night. Those people brought a sacrifice of their produce that they worked in the farm for, of the first fruits to a deity. So because they were sacrificing to that deity, the spirits of that deity, which were snakes from under the ground, had a stronghold in everyone's back. So that is what I saw in the night. So when I went, I saw the same gates, the gates of the village, the same things I saw. When I went into the meeting, I saw some people's faces that I saw last night in the encounter I had in the spirit. So I ministered the gospel. First of all, I preached the gospel, told them about Jesus, and then I told, this is the problem, and this is what God told me. As soon as I saw the problem, many people started to behave like snakes. And many people started to have that back pain. And God had mercy on them. Not one was left sick, or not one was left back in the infirmity. They were all healed. But the problem that happened there, after they all were healed, I exposed that deity. But they rejected to not to worship that deity. But God had mercy on them and God gave them a chance to believe in the message of the gospel. And God gave them a chance to be saved. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? So under the Great Commission, we see that with Jesus, we see that with the apostles, the gift of healing worked mightily through them. Okay? And then there are people, pastors who will say that the church is a hospital. The church, people are already there warming the seats of the church from 15 years. They are doing nothing. God expects them to pray. God expects them to have the faith. Are we understanding? Some problem that believers have, old believers who are in the Lord already. Everyone prays from you, for you. Pastors pray for you, healing evangelists pray for you, but it does not go away because God wants you to have the faith. God wants you to have the faith. We will come under the category where healing occurs by the faith of a person and not by the gift of a man. Are we understanding? So do we see the first category of healing? The healing, the gift of healing that is ministered mightily under the Great Commission. Under the Great Commission. All right. Let's go to the next one. The healing that is ministered by the faith of the healing evangelist or the person who carries the gift. The healing that is ministered. Remember the son of that woman died, whom Elijah ministered to in the widow of Zarephath. Remember that? The woman had no faith. In the beginning also, she had no faith. That's why she was going to die. So Elijah told, bring the morsel of bread for me first, and then the oil will not run dry, and the flour will not be used up. So the woman bought, and the Bible says that the oil never ran dry because she obeyed the command of the Lord. So you will see that God was trying to speak to that woman First Kings, chapter number 17. Let's go there. First Kings, chapter number 17. Let me show you that how the gift of healing through your faith can be ministered to a person who is faithless. Okay? Let's go to First Kings, chapter number yes, 17, verse number 8. First Kings chapter number 17, verse number 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So before Elijah went there, the scripture says that God already spoke to the widow. But when Elijah landed up in her house, Elijah saw that she was gathering sticks, and she said, alas, we will die because of the drought that has come. This is the last bread. This is the last little oil. So she was making bread for her and her son to die. What did she say? We want to die. But what God was trying to speak to her? Provide for my kingdom. Hallelujah. I told you when I was talking about the gift of faith. The gift of faith is to receive the word of God and to act upon it, to declare it. That is the gift of faith. But it becomes very hard for believers to operate in the gift of faith, because whenever God speaks anything, it is completely, 100% contrary to what you are into and what is the situation you are facing. So God will ask you to give, but you see there is nothing. And the last thing is left that you have to use. But God is asking you, there will come a man you need to provide. But this woman was not able to operate in faith. God was speaking to her, but she was too much surrounded by her own worries that she could not hear the voice of God. Or even though she heard the voice of God, she was not had the faith to act upon it. She was ignoring the voice of God. So What Elijah did was not a gift that he ministered. He just reminded the woman of what God spoke to her. So Elijah came and said, okay, you do whatever you want to do, make for yourself and eat. I'm not saying don't eat, eat. But before you do that, bring a morsel of bread for me. So Elijah was saying, do what God told you to do actually. Do that. And when you obey the calling of God, when you obey the voice of God, the oil will not run dry and the flour will not be used up. All right. But this woman is, I would say, I'm not criticizing her, but let's see, look at her, her faith, her character as per the scripture. This woman was a faithless woman. She had a calling. The calling that she had was to provide for the servants of God. Even though she was not rich, but God gave her that gift to give for the servants of God to support the prophet of God. But she was not obedient to the call of God. She was not listening. She was very self-obsessed. She was looking at her own situation. So, okay, Elijah reminded her, you obey the voice of God, then you will never lack anything. Do you know when you walk in the calling of God, the economy will fall, but your finances will not fall because you are working for a company which is not found on earth. You are working for a company which is in heaven, and heaven's economy never falls. It will sustain you when you are working for him, when you are obeying him. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
So that is how. Amen. So that woman's oil never ran dry throughout the drought because Elijah, the prophet, encouraged her to obey the voice of God. Hallelujah. Okay. Then what happened is you will see after that miracle, verse number 16. We are on 1 Kings chapter number 17, verse number 16. Stay with me, okay? Listen to me. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke by Elijah. Hallelujah! When you saw and witnessed a miracle and God providing for you, what shall happen? I expect that believer now to have faith for the things that will come ahead of the believer, and not to go back on her faith. But what happened again? Verse number 17. Now it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick. Okay? And his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, now look at the attitude. What I have to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son? Oh God. Little does she realizes it is not the man of God who is causing her son to die, but it is her own words that she spoke that is causing her son to die. You have to be very mindful. I have told many believers to stop saying, oh, I will die. Don't say that. Because the devil will take the hold of your words. I will die. You should die. You are this and that. It is the result of her own words. So this woman is a type of believer that whenever anything happens, she is so disturbed. She is angry. She is frustrated. She just cannot trust on God. Just cannot trust on God. Hallelujah. We put the blame. Oh God, why did you do that? God gave you the oil and the flour when you had nothing. Can't you praise God? Can't you believe that the God who multiplied your oil and your flour can also heal your son? Can't you believe that? That is the problem why we don't see healing in so-called churches. Even though you minister healing to the believers, because God is not happy with them. Do we understand? That okay, but Elijah, since he was blamed for what happened there, since he was blamed, he used his faith, he used his gift to minister healing here. I have seen that happening. God is so merciful. Though God works a miracle for you and you still don't believe, you still curse him, complain him, curse the man of God who did it for you, but still he is merciful to do it again for you because he loves you. And I have seen that in the scripture. I have seen God doing it with the people of Israel. Again and again. God brought them out of Egypt. Still they are complaining. Oh, we don't have this. We don't have that. We don't have water. God gave them water. Still they are complaining. This, we had meat. God gave them manna. Again, they complained, we are fed up of manna. We want this. We want meat. God gave them meat. So God did not bless them because he was pleased with them. God was showing his love that, you see how much I love you. Stop complaining. But they did not listen. They continued in that complaining mode, and God restricted them, the whole generation, to enter the promised land. Are we understanding? Oh, I have a job, I have money. That's not the mark of God's approval on you. You might be complaining and taking those things. But there is a difference when you get things from God as a reward and when you get things from God because you are complaining that he is not pleased with you. So that is what was happening with this widow. She blamed Elijah. Have you come to me to bring to my sin to remembrance? You have killed my child. She is not looking at what she was doing, her faith, but she was expecting things. That is how the mentality of believers have become. All the things that they need, they are dependent on an Elijah. They are dependent on a pastor. They cannot exercise their own faith. They are not able to exercise the authority of the word of God that God has given to them. Hallelujah. Okay, that is what she was doing. But verse number 19 says, and he said to her, give me your son. So he took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his own bed. Then he cried out to the Lord and said, oh Lord, my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with me, with whom I lodge, by killing her son? And he stretched himself out on the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, oh Lord, my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him. Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he was revived. That is where you use your faith. You use your relationship with God to minister healing or to raise the dead. Okay, hallelujah. Where you use your faith. You use your relationship with God. And it says, God heard whose voice? The voice of Elijah. And he had to wait there. He had to lay himself three times. Three times. He was not coming back to life. Nothing was happening. But he continued to ask the Lord. And God heard Elijah, because Elijah was a righteous man. Elijah had a covenant with God. Now Elijah did this and went away. We don't know what happened with the widow after that. What I want to say to believers is, the pastor is not going to pray for you forever. Maybe God will use your pastor for some time, but it's time for you to exercise your own faith when you are having problems. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm under the second category where the gift of healing is ministered by your own faith. Let me give you some more examples. Matthew's chapter number 8. Matthew's chapter number 8. Verse number 14 and 15. Matthew's chapter number 8. Verse number 14 and 15. Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served them. So Jesus healing Peter's mother-in-law. She had fever, so he touched her and the fever left. So these are healings where you minister healing by the gift that is upon you to people. That is the second category. Okay, let's come to the third category. The third category is, by the faith of the person who needs healing, they are healed. By the faith of the person who need healing, they are healed. Let's come to Matthew's chapter number 9. Matthew's chapter number 9 and verse number 20. Matthew's chapter number 9, verse number 20. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, if I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, Be of good cheer. Daughter, your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour. Hallelujah. So this is a time where even Jesus did not know that someone, she did not explain to Jesus her situation. That, you know what, I want to meet Jesus, tell Jesus that I have been facing this issue of blood flow from 12 years. I went to the doctors. I wasted my money on the doctors, on medicine. She did not explain anything. But she said, I just want to touch him. I just want to touch him. I just want to lay hold of Jesus's garment. Hallelujah. So her faith, Jesus is the person who has to, through whom the healing has to flow. The person did not even know what is her situation and what is her condition. But she came to Jesus. She said, only if I touch him, I will get healed. Hallelujah. I have seen people getting healed by their faith when they forget about how much money they wasted on the doctors and from how many years they are in that condition and what they need. And they forgot about themselves and they got into the presence of the Lord. They got automatically healed. Hallelujah. How they got healed? They got healed because they forgot about themselves and they looked to the Lord and they were in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Many people are not getting healed because God expects them to do that. God wants them to have the faith to get healed. God wants them to usher into the secret place, come into the secret place, tap into the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. I told you about that apostle. Whom I know, he is having this facial paralysis and he stammers. No one came and ministered healing gift on him through the gift of healing on him. But what he did is he ministered in the presence of the Lord, forgetting about his condition, and God healed his stammering. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? So healing that happens by the faith of the person. Healing that happens when the person realizes that I need to be in the presence of God. She did not say, I want to go to God. Many people are continuing to tell God, God, I am in this condition. When you will heal me, forget about it. You tap, you go, reach out for the garment of Jesus. Reach out for the presence of Jesus. Get into the presence of Jesus and you will get healed. Forget about telling him the situation. You just tap into the power of Jesus. The presence of God is so powerful that it will heal you. But for that, you have to have faith and forget about yourself. Hallelujah. Another example, Matthew chapter number 9, verse number 27 to 29. Matthew chapter number 9, verse number 27 to 29. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, Do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to him, Yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, According to your what faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were open, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, See that no one knows it. Okay. Hallelujah. So Jesus asked them, Do you believe I can do it for you? They said, Yes, you can do it. And Jesus healed them. Hallelujah. You need to have faith and not doubt. He who doubts is like a wave of the sea that wavers away. But you need to have faith that Jesus can do it. Sometimes we show as if, oh, we believe, but in our heart, we have doubts. So Jesus asked them, Do you believe that I can do it for you? They said, Yes, Lord, you can do it. And Jesus healed them. So that is the third category. Do we see that? Where the faith is the healing gift is ministered through the faith of the person. And sometimes they did not even want the healing gift for you to know their sickness. Only if they tap into the presence of God, only when you are ministering, you are worshiping, and they tap into the presence of God, God will heal them. Hallelujah. That is what happens in a lot of healing crusades that we see. Okay.
Hallelujah.
Amen. The fourth Now, this is the fourth category and the last category. After that, I will come upon the demonic healing. Okay, the fourth category where God allows or how God works the gift of healing, and I have experienced this. It is by the compassion of God working through you. What? It is by the compassion of God. It is by the compassion of God working through you. Turn with me to Matthew chapter number 14, verse number, Matthew chapter number 14, verse number 14. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, and he healed their sick. When he was moved with compassion in his heart, looking at their, and this compassion, I'm telling you, this is not an earthly or a human compassion, that when you feel like crying, it comes from the Holy Spirit. It comes from the Lord, that compassion of the Lord comes. And when you experience that compassion, you know that you are not crying. It is the Lord's heart that is crying, looking through you at that person. And when you have that compassion, I'm telling you, go and lay hands on that person and the person will get healed. Because that is the anointing of healing, when the compassion comes. I have experienced that many times. Once I was ministering in a village, and they brought someone in the auto, in the rickshaw that they used to get transported here and there, travel in the village. In the middle of the meeting, they brought a woman, and they brought her out, and I was preaching, and they were doing all those things, but I did not mind them, because they brought her on the wheelchair, and they just brought her on the stage directly without asking anyone, because I do not have those protocols. They just brought her near me on the stage, and I said, okay, let me finish, and then I will see what is happening, why, what is the problem. So the woman did not eat anything from around 10 years, because if she eats anything, she would vomit it out. She had high pressure, she could not walk, she had high sugar, all sorts of problems, multiple problems, you know, blood pressure, this and that, and could not walk, no strength in the body, such kinds of problems. So when I was ministering, I said, let me finish preaching. But again, when I looked at her, the compassion of the Lord came upon me. And I stopped the preaching. I was feeling like crying, looking at her. And I knew the Lord. So I went, okay, I went and I prayed. I prayed for her. And immediately she received strength and she stood up. Then immediately, these people who brought her, they brought all those, you know, equipments to measure, to put it on her hand and measure the pressure and all those things. So after I prayed, she got up and she was walking. Not only she was walking, that someone came and measured her pressure. The oxygen levels became normal. Her blood pressure became normal immediately at that moment, because the Lord had compassion. When I came back home after ministering, someone brought the news through someone else, and they told her, you know, the woman who got healed, she ate. She went home and ate a lot, and she did not vomit. So she started to eat. So that is where God has compassion on some people. God is crying for some people when he looks at their condition. And when you look at such people, if you are operating in the Spirit of God, you will also have the same compassion. And when you feel that compassion towards them, just go and pray for them. They will get healed instantly. They will get healed instantly. Once I was praying in the hotel room, and I had a small window. So I was looking through the window, and I saw a lady taking a bullock cart and some vegetables to sell on it. When I looked at that lady, I felt I the compassion of the Lord came, and I was just crying, looking at her. And I knew, because she was on the road, I could not go, but I knew that she was going through a lot in her health. And I released. And I release the healing for her. So that compassion that comes upon people, it's actually a sign of the healing anointing. It's actually a sign of the healing anointing. And people, some pastors are specially gifted in the healing ministry. Specially gifted in the healing ministry. And they have the compassion of the Lord comes upon them too for the healing of God's people. Hallelujah. Let me show you another scripture. Mark chapter number 4. Let me see that. Mark chapter number 4. Verse number 24 to 34. Okay, not that one. Okay. Let me search that word out afterwards. Okay, so the fourth category is when the compassion of the Lord comes upon you and God heals those people. Okay, these are the four categories under which healing is ministered. First, the Great Commission. Second is by your faith and by your gift. Third is by the faith of the person who wants to get healed. And the fourth one is by the compassion of God through you, working through you. All right. Now, let's come on demonic healing. So, every gift that I am taking, I am teaching the differentiation, because a lot of people are healed, but they are healed by demonic spirits. There are some things, I am not into studying all these things, but just for the sake of information, just a summary or a flash of it, so that a definition kind of it, so that people can understand, and some people can also recognize if they received a healing from a demonic spirit. So when a demon ministers healing, or when the devil ministers healing, he ministers healing through ritual practices and through demonic doctrines. Are we together? What? The devil ministers healing to people through what? Ritual practices and demonic doctrine. Either you have to do a ritual, either or you have to follow a doctrine, a practice. Okay? What is the doctrine of the Word of God? We need to come together and pray. Pray in the name of Jesus. So we come and pray. We do some activities. We have to have faith. The doctrine of the Word of God says we have to have faith in God. So we have faith in God. As I taught you the doctrine, So they have doctrines of healing. Some of the doctrines that are now also in the church, and so-called pastors who are not the servants of God, but the servants of Satan, use those powers to minister healing to people. But I am telling you one thing. Let me make a statement. The healing that God gives is unmatchable, is matchless. The devil's healing cannot even match to God's healing. Are we together? The healing that devil, I am telling you, I am a witness. I have seen things when the devil gives healing. The healing that comes from the devil can't even match the levels of the healing that comes from God. There are many loopholes, many, many loopholes when the healing is ministered through a demonic spirit. Hallelujah. Some of the ritual practices and doctrines through which healing is ministered by the devil is psychic healing, Reiki healing, a crystal healing. I will come to that. Don't go into that, people of God, not required, but I will tell you those things for the sake of information and for the sake of discernment. Psychic healing, Reiki healing, crystal healing. There can be other healings, I don't know. But these are the ones that are a little bit prominent among people and also practiced in so-called churches. Okay. First of all, after going through a bit through these healings and through my experience of looking at people who got healed by demons, I pointed out some symptoms that will happen, that will manifest after demonic healing, after a person receives demonic healing, some characteristics of demonic healing. Basically, the first characteristic of a demonic healing is demonic healing ties a person to a ritual practice. So the Okay, you got healed, but the maintenance of the healing is not promised. Yeah, you got healed of your infirmity, of your, let's say, the blood flow infirmity. A woman was having blood flow. The blood would not stop. And the woman got healed, but the healing that she received is from a demonic altar. So she got healed at that moment, but the maintenance of the healing is not promised. She is said that if you want to remain healed, you need to have this blood in your diet. The blood of the pigeon will be given. 10 bottles will be given to her. I know people who have done that. I know Christians who have done that, who have come to me in secret and told me, you know what? I am drinking the blood of pigeon because to get my skin disease under control. Yes. I know Christians who have been doing that. And I said, but that's not the word of God. He said to me, what I can do? I can do nothing because I don't want that sickness. Till the time I am drinking the blood, you know, it is kept under control. So the person, I said, what can I do when you are not listening to me? So the person did not wanted to stop drinking the blood. So he knows if he stops to drink the blood, the disease will come back. Are we together, people of God? Demonic healing ties you to a ritual practice. You go to any church and you got healed in the meeting. But after that, the pastor will say, okay, I am giving you this water. You have to drink this water. Okay? That is not a healing that came from God. Because the healing that comes from God is not tied to a ritual practice. People of God, are we here? Can you say amen even as we go ahead? Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Demonic healing. Demonic healing is always tied to a ritual practice. There is something that you need to do to maintain that healing, to keep that healing. Okay. The second characteristic of a demonic healing. Demonic healing, listen to me. Demonic healing comes with other problems added along with that healing. Demonic healing comes with other problems added along with the healing. Added along with the healing. Now, this person had some stone in his stomach or something like that. And the doctors told him for operation. So he did not had that amount of money and all those things. A lot of money was told to him to pay for the surgery. So he did not. So he went to someone who does spiritual healing. And the person asked this person to sleep in a white room and make everything white. Your dress white, bed sheet white and everything white. White candles, light up white candles, light up this and that. And all those things. Make everything white, he said. And sleep in that room. And sleep in that room. And in the night, you will get, you know, someone will come and remove the stone. So he did that. And he slept in the room. This is the testimony of the person. Now, when in the time of the night, at some time of the night, someone entered through a door who was not a human being. It entered through the closed door. The door was not open. So it entered through, a spirit entered through the door and came and laid hands. The spirit laid hands on the place where the stone and everything was and removed it and went away. And the person was healed in the night. So he got up, he felt no stone. But immediately the next day, the person started to hear voices. The person started to have panic attacks. The person started to have anxiousness, frequent accounts of chains of thoughts that are negative. Yes. So when, hallelujah, I have seen that people of God, so-called churches where the pastor is not the servant of God, he acts like a servant of God and ministers healing. There are immediate instant healings by that person. Tumors disappear and cripples are walking. But those people who are getting healed, I'm telling you, you don't believe me, go and do a research. They never come close to Christ. They are in their flesh, living in their flesh. They are having other problems in their life. They are acting demonic. But only a healing testimony is created and shown on the pulpit, on the stage. But they were ministered healing through demons. And these people, even though they get healed, but actually they are not healed. They are more possessed. Because when the devil gives you healing, he gives healing to a person at a price. He will, okay, I am healing you of your cancer, but I want my 5 buddies to stay in your house. That means in your body. So he will put 5 demons in you. So the devil never will give you anything without a price. He will take a price from you. But our Jesus Christ has paid the price for our healing on the cross by himself. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you shout hallelujah? Demonic healing comes with a price. Demonic healing comes with other problems added along with the healing you get. Hallelujah. I know. Mm-hmm. You know what? Now this is something that I have witnessed in ministry. This is something what I have witnessed in ministry. A pastor who is operating in the anointing of the devil, in the power of the demons, in the power of darkness, and doing healing ministry. Okay? The kind of people that get healed by him are proud and arrogant and unrepenting people. People who don't repent, that are the kind of people that get healed by that kind of a person. But if you go in his meeting and you don't know him, but you have a heart for God, you have faith in God, you will not get healed. But on the contrary, rebellious people, you will see them getting healed. I have seen rebellious people getting healed in meetings. People who never want to repent. People who are so proud and arrogant, who are very staunch and stubborn. Yeah, getting healed. So demons are interested to heal the like spirit people, familiar spirits people. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like spirit people. You know what? You went into that meeting with your friend. Let's say Sister K went to a meeting with her friend and she knows her friend very well. She is a so-called Christian, but she's so stubborn. She's into immorality. She does not want to repent. She is in all sorts of things and she has a problem where you prayed, K prayed for her. She never got healed. But you take her to that meeting and the pastor you don't know is operating in the power of demons. And this kind of a lady gets healed there. I hope you are understanding what I am saying. So the like spirit, the familiar spirit, those kind of people get healed. Who are clamorous, who are noisy, who are confused, you know, who are boastful, arrogant, proud, even after knowing God. Those are the people who get healed by demonic powers very, very quickly. Very quickly. Healing manifests in them because they already have demons and other demons work with them and okay, you know what? I will remove this tumor so that 2 more of us can enter and cause some other problems in her. That happens, I'm telling you. It's the reality if you don't know. Demonic healing is true. Yes. Hallelujah. Demonic healing, what? Comes with other problems added along with the healing. Demonic healing comes with other problems. Other demons are attached to that healing. Okay, the third characteristic is, listen to me. The third characteristic is, when a person receives healing from demons, there are chances that another close family member may fall sick or fall under severe attack. When a person receives healing from the devil, from demons, there are chances that that disease will go to another family member and another family member will fall under the severe attack. And in many cases, listen to me, I know people who have permitted the demonic healing minister to do that. Do you know Do you know Hollywood, Bollywood, how people become rich? They sell their souls to the devil. How they rise. If they have to rise, sometimes they have to sacrifice their own family members. They have to give their own family members for them to receive the fame, for them to receive more recognition, for them to receive more money. That also happens in demonic healing. That also happens when a person is healed by a demonic spirit. Okay, you will get healed. And the person gets healed. And sometimes it is unknown to the person who gets healed. He got healing. And in many cases, he received prosperity. He received a quick progress in his ministry, fast church. And then you will see that the little child, the youngest son died in his family because the devil gave him something at an unknown cost, which costed the life of a family member. These are, I have seen, I'm not talking in the air. These are facts. These things happen. These things happen. At the cost of one person getting delivered, the devil says, okay, we will give you that what you want, but they will not tell you sometimes. They will bring an attack to another family member. Are we together? So these are the three things that I noticed. Demonic healing ties a person with a ritual practice, then it comes with other problems, other demons along with it. Then it comes with another close family member close to you may fall sick, fall under severe attack, or even die. So this is what happens when, but the healing that comes from God, if you want to walk, continue to walk in that healing, you just need to walk in His word and stay in His presence, because the healing that comes from Him is permanent. Hallelujah. Amen. The healing that comes from Him brings peace to you. The healing that comes from the Lord will draw you more closer to Christ, will give you a hunger and thirst, will bring peace in your heart, will bring joy in your life. The healing that comes from the Lord. So the healing that comes from the gift of demons, from the demonic gifts, cannot even match to the levels that healing, to the healing that comes from God. Are we together? Hallelujah. So let me now cover. I thought of going to the next gift, but let me now cover the some mediums, some demonic doctrines through which healing is ministered. And I'm not going much into it, but I'm going to give you a gist, because some of these practices are happening in the church, and most of it is connected to the Kundalini spirit. For those who don't know about Kundalini spirit or a Kundalini practice, it is basically emerged from India, from Hinduism, the Kundalini spirit. It is the doctrine where people are taught that there is a snake inside which has power, and they are taught ritual practices, like even yoga is a Kundalini practice, meditation, which are not godly meditation, to awaken that power within them, energy within them, good vibes, and all those things. You know, I don't know, nowadays even Christians say things like, oh, there are good vibes coming in this place, good vibes, so I like this place. What are vibes? Vibes are nothing biblical. Vibes are the feeling of energies around you. Okay, I feel energies, good energies. Once I was ministering to a lady. Now this lady is not a Christian. She's a Hindu, and not a Hindu, a New Age lady. Actually, she believes in all God. So that's why she's very open to Jesus. She believes in Hinduism and yoga and Kundalini and all sorts of things. So when I was praying for her, when I she becomes she had cancer. She had cancer. So she often liked to talk with me and pray with me. So once she said, you know, Rahul, why I want to talk, I talk to you and I let you pray for me, because I receive good energies from you. When you pray, I feel good energies. That is not good energy, that is the Holy Spirit. But she compared the Holy Spirit with good energies, because that was the her mind and all those sorts of things. But later she passed away. You know, she was into a lot of new age things. And but she never got healed because she believed in these practices that I'm going to tell you. The first healing doctrine of the demonic is the, that I want to tell you, is the psychic healing. What? Psychic healing. Psychic healing is a process of connecting with subconscious, with subconscious mind of another person, irrespective of distance. Psychic reading and psychic healing are for resolution of blocked energy, aura cleaning, chakra. Chakra is what happens in Kundalini, that they say there is a chakra. Chakra means a, what you call a wheel. A wheel. In Hindi, it's called chakra. Hindi or Sanskrit, it's called chakra. So what did I say? Psychic reading and psychic healing are for resolution of blocked energy, aura cleaning, chakra balancing and healing. So those healing, they initiate by mind reading and initiate by using and connecting to the power of your subconscious, subconscious mind. Okay? Now listen to me. There are some people, some pastors, so-called prophets, I have seen them, every time they will minister healing or deliverance to a person, they will tell that person, look into my eyes. Look into my eyes. Now, listen to me. When you ask them, they will tell you, you know what they will tell you? Acts chapter number 3. Peter and John told the lame man who was sitting at the beautiful gate, look at us. Look at us. Now, the way I want to clear out that confusion and tell you that it is wrong. Once, I think Sister Pushpa asked a question that a person is using salt and water to do some deliverance or healing or whatever. Salt and water. So is it from God? The way I want to answer these questions are, see, when you will ask them, oh, salt and water, they will say, Elisha used salt to heal the source of water. But what I want to tell you is, Elisha never used salt again and again to do every miracle. He used salt only to perform one miracle. So the way the Holy Spirit, once Jesus used what? His saliva to make clay from the mud and rubbed it on the person's eyes. Did he use that practice every time? No. It was the specific leading of the Holy Spirit. Even in there, there is a message hidden in it to reveal Christ. But any which ways, it is a specific leading of the Holy Spirit only in specific time. They don't make that practice a ritual practice. So my answer to that question is, if you saw a servant of God using it only once and other time he does not do it, and he says it is from God, he can be a servant of God. But if you see a servant of God using that ritual practice every time he ministers healing, he is ministering demonic healing. So servants of God, every time who say to people, look into my eyes, look into my eyes, look into my eyes, every time, they are psychic healers. They are getting into the subconscious, conscious mind of the person, like hypnosis. And sometimes those people are not even healed, but they are made to feel the healing through hypnosis. Psychic healing. Are we understanding?
Yeah.
Psychic healing. It happens in the church. Psychic healing. Now, listen to me. I was following this, I don't want to take his name, this apostle, long time back when I was not in my own ministry, God, the time when God, I was working for other ministers. So I used to hear sermons before I sleep and pray in tongues and all sorts of things. So I used to hear, I like to hear this apostle from, one of the apostles from Nigeria. And through, when I started to hear, after 6-7 months, the Spirit of God, I felt, was not allowing me to hear that person. And what he used to do in his meeting is, he used to say to people, look into my eyes. And once he also said, look into my eyes. And then he clarified, oh, this is not witchcraft. This is, I am doing it by God. He also clarified it. So I did not pay any mind to him. But once I had a dream about him, okay? I had a dream about him where he was ministering on the pulpit, and then the meeting ended, and then I went to him. I had many questions about what I need to do at that time and all sorts of things. So in the dream, I went to him, approached him on the pulpit, and I said, Apostle, I want to talk to you. Can you pray for me? He said, no, not here. Come into a room. So then the next scene was, in the dream, I was in a closed room with that man, with that so-called apostle. And I started to tell him, you know, about things I need prayer for. So after I said to him all those things, he did some gimmicks with his head and said, that is a bad news for you. And he said, you should not start ministry. You should not do ministry. And then he said, okay, if you want to listen more of God, bow down to me first and look into my eyes. So I felt hesitant. I did not bow down to him. But when I look into his eyes in the dream, his eyes were like the eyes of a snake. It was silvery, shiny color. And the texture, you know, boxy texture. His eyes were the eyes of the snake. As soon as I saw that, I was in the dream out of the room. And then how am I out of the room? God had mercy on me that I was out of the room. And then I was trying to peep in the room, but I could not see anything. I was completely out of the room. And then I was done with the dream. I got up, I prayed. It took 2-3 days for me to understand that dream. I could not understand it. And at last, the Lord revealed to me that that person is not from God. He's operating in serpentine marine spirits. Look into my eyes is a psychic healing. Okay, Peter and John told the lame person, the beggar, look at us, to draw their attention. But they did not do that again and again. Look at us, look at us. But these people, every time they want to minister to a person, they say, look into my eyes, because they want to. What is psychic healing? It's a process of connecting with the subconscious mind of another person. Subconscious mind of another person. So they get into, when they look in the eyes, you know, that is how hypnosis happened. That is how things happen. Psychic healing is not from God. So you need to be beware of people who every time they want to minister healing or prophecy, they will ask the person. Some people can't even minister in the prophetic. They will, you know those prophets, you are not having faith. You are not paying attention. You are not looking into my eyes. You have to look into my eyes. If the people are not looking into the eyes of the prophet, they can't even prophesy. They can't even operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you. I don't have to look into anyone's eye for me to prophesy. I know people whom I did ministry with, they started to teach those things. One of the young pastor, he traveled in the Asian countries to preach the gospel, and he passed away, but he started to teach and tell us that we need to read the eyes of a person to minister the gift of the prophetic. That is all nonsense. In so-called prophetic schools that some prophets are taking, they are teaching believers to do that. That is not from God. There is no necessity of you looking and reading the mind or looking in the eyes of the person for you to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There is no need, I am telling you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Even as we go ahead. Hallelujah. If you are understanding, say amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Psychic healing, even psychic healing, it's not only psychic healing, it's also psychic prophecy. People can only prophesy when you look into their eyes. If you don't look into their eyes, they cannot prophesy on you. I'm telling you, there are some prophets who will tell you, go away, I don't want to prophesy, because you are not getting into their spell, not looking into their eyes. Okay, hallelujah. The gift of God does not requires all sorts of practices. These are psychic healings. Okay, let me go to the next healing, is our Reiki healing. Reiki healing. Or Reiki, even it is used in other practices to bring peace and all sorts of things. Hallelujah. Okay, what is Reiki healing? Reiki is a complementary therapy relating to energy healing. Reiki is a complementary therapy relating to energy healing. Some people say it works through the transfer of universal energy from the practitioner's palm to the client. Okay, some controversy. Now this is what you have to, I want to bring to your notice. This is important. What people say that it happens, the Reiki healing happens through the transfer of universal energy from the practitioners, means the person who is ministering the healing. It happens through his what? Palm. Through the palm of the client. Some controversy surround Reiki as clinical research has not proven its effectiveness. So even science does not prove the effectiveness of this kind of Reiki healing. There are side effects. Listen to this. There are side effects that may result from the change in energy, including sneezing, excessive sweating, dizziness, disturbed sleep or sleep patterns, vivid or lucid dreams, and or flashbacks to certain memories or points in time. Are we together? So that is what happens to a person who receives Reiki healing. What happens? The side effects of it is sneezing, excessive sweating, but things that are of concern are disturbed sleep. Then what? Vivid and lucid dreams, voices you hear, dreams people start to see, flashbacks to the past memories. Their mind is hallucinating after receiving those energies through Reiki healing. Now, listen to me. Now, how does Reiki healing is ministered? I don't know. I don't know much about it. But the thing that I want to bring to your light is because to expose the fake healing that happens in the church. The way Reiki healing is ministered is the person with his hand will come and press your forehead like this, with his palm, with his hand, press your forehead like this, or do like something like this, push, and the people will fall. Now, that if you ask them, no, that is laying on of hands. Laying on of hands is not like this. Laying on of hands is not pressing the forehead with the thumb. That happens in Reiki. They press some points in your body to release energy through their own body. And when the energy is released through their body, the person is maybe rolling on the ground, convulsing or aggressively shaking the body. And that happens in a lot of churches saying it's the Holy Spirit. Mostly it's not the Holy Spirit. It's kind of Kundalini spirit where the person, some people, when the so-called pastor touches them, they make noises. Noises of elephants, those things are not, the Holy Spirit will not come upon you to make you make the sounds of elephants and animals. Those are Reiki energies that are transferred to the through the practitioner's palm. Those are energies that are transferred where the person is put into a trance. And when the person is put into a trance, they hear voices, they see vivid dreams, they hallucinate, and the pain goes away in that activity. That's why they call it Reiki healing. My God. You know what? When I was 17 years old, that is the time the gospel just came to me. But the problem that happened with us is, the woman that brought the gospel to my mother, that woman was a Christian, but after she brought the gospel to my mother, she herself got deceived into these practices. She went to the, what you call, the Sabbath practice. She said, Saturday, we should not work. And then she went to several other things. And then she used to force us, my mother, to bring, to take us to meetings. You know, some meetings, some person has come, let's go to the meeting. And then once my mother said, okay, I was very young at that time, 16, 17 years old. And I was very young. So my mother said, she is telling, and we did not have any knowledge so much. We only accepted Christ. We just started to know Christ coming from a Hindu background. So she took us to a so-called minister meeting, Christian meeting. So before we could go in the meeting, They took us into a room, into a closed room. And they took us, and some volunteer came, and he started to say, okay, this is how he will touch, you will receive power, this is how it will happen, and all those stuff. And when he explained, and he said, this is, you know, instructions that we need to obey before going into the meeting. So they were preparing our mind, something for he will touch, people will fall, and all those stuff. When he was speaking, just in a second, the door opened up, and the man of so-called man of God came with his bodyguards, entered the room. And we were lined up in a chair. So I was standing at the end, you know, I was the last, third last, fourth last person. And the door opened up, and the so-called man of God entered with his bodyguards. And as he entered, the people were lining up. So he started to touch the people forehead. And he started to, when he touches the people forehead, he says, tush, tush. He makes noise with his mouth. Tush, tush. People, as he said, tush, tush, tush. People were falling down, falling down, falling down. And I said, oh, he's coming to me. He's coming to me. What will happen to me? And because all the people were falling down, he came to me and he did like this. Tush. I was just a young guy. Tush. I did not fall down, but I purposely fell down because I should not look odd in front of other people. So he came and tush like this he did. So I had no sensation of anything, but I just fall down like this. I did acting, you know. And then the other people were falling down. Then they said, okay, now is the time for meeting. We went in the hall. I don't know. He preached something. I don't even remember. And then after 5-10 minutes preaching, he got down from his pulpit. Again, he came. Tush, tush. I said, oh God, again he came. So, to everyone, tush, 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 tush. That is Reiki powers. That was not a man of God, I'm telling you. That is not even biblical. I'm not saying laying of hands is something. There is a doctrine of the laying of hands that Apostle Paul talks about. These are not laying of hands. These are Reiki healing. Have you seen that? I know if you have been a Christian, you would have seen those things in the church. No, why should everyone fall? If someone falls under the influence of the Holy Spirit, that's everyone. You are not supposed to make everyone fall. Everyone should fall. Everyone should fall. In some churches, no one is sitting on the chair worship. Everyone is on the ground like this. All of them. Everyone, they say, are slain in the spirit. My God, be careful. I'm giving you these things, teaching you these things so that you can recognize if this is a Reiki healing Kundalini spirit or it is the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So the devil wants to confuse Christians. And many Christians have gone back on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They say the gifts of the Holy Spirit don't exist. That is another extreme. But any which ways, the Reiki healing. The third one I want to tell you is crystal healing. Crystal healing. Crystal healing is a pseudo-scientific alternative medicine practice. This is what I got the information. This is not my own. I got the information. Crystal healing is a pseudo-scientific alternative medicine practice that uses semi-precious stones and crystals such as quartz, agate, amethyst, or opal. Adherents of the practice claim that these have healing powers. The crystals, the stones, what? Have healing powers. But there is no scientific basis for this claim. Practitioners of crystal healing believe they can boost low energy, prevent bad energy, release blocked energy, and transform body aura. In one method, the practitioner places crystals on different parts of the body, often corresponding to the chakras. So what they do is, as per the yoga and kundalini, they say the body has a chakra, you know, a wheel that should get activated. So they place crystals on those parts of the body to activate the healing energy. Basically, let me stop here. Those things are unnecessary. But crystals, now. Crystals are not even only used for healing. Crystals are also used for good luck. Unfortunately, I have seen many believers believing in good luck. There is nothing called as luck. Luck is by chance. If I am lucky, luck, everything is not those are not biblical words. Those are demonic words. So for them to be fortunate, lucky, and all those stuff, they wear these stones, rings, stone rings. I don't know, expensive stones. For and many pastors are ministering the power, so-called demonic power, because they are covenanted with a stone ring. What are those things? Those are crystal powers, crystal healings that is used in the occultism, used in the demonic. Okay? These, so they place crystals on the body. In some cases, not only healing happens, but also power is given by giving a stone, a covenant ring. There is a lady who calls herself an apostle, who is very famous in the US. She was had no such fame until she received a crystal ring that she wears from a false servant of God from Africa. From that time she started to minister that kind of power because she got a crystal stones. Okay? So what happens in occultism, they put the power in this expensive or whatever kind of stones. Many Christians have seen them wearing these rings. Why? Because they want to prosper in the business. So they were given a crystal ring, a specific stone ring. So when they wear it, they believe that they will prosper. They are Christians, but all these things I'm telling you is not biblical. You don't need a stone. You don't need to wear a crystal for you to prosper or to you to be lucky. You need to walk in the word of the Lord for you to be blessed by God. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? So, hallelujah. Are we understanding the difference between God's healing and the demonic healing? So, I the Holy Spirit told me not to only teach about gifts, but after every gift, I teach about the difference because every gift is mimicked by the demonic and people of the church are confused. You should be sure enough from where the healing is coming. You should be sure enough from where the word of knowledge is coming, the word of wisdom is coming, or the miracles are happening. I am excited to teach about the working of miracles. I am excited to teach about the working of miracles, but our time is up. Coming Sunday, I'm going to start off with the working of miracles. We are done with the gifts of healing. Okay, are we understanding? So these are the three. There can be more, but these are the prominent ones. There can be more, I don't know. But these are the prominent ones, the psychic healing, Reiki healing, crystal healing. Okay, then another thing, crystals were also used to read minds and transmit thoughts. So they do all this stuff through this occultic things. So anyone telling you to wear a ring of a crystal or to do a ritual for your healing, don't do that because it's not from God. Have the faith in the word of God and wait for God. Don't be in a hurry. Don't be in a hurry. Because Christians have become impatient, they are looking for different sources that are not from God for their healing, but wait on the Lord, receive from His hand, be in His presence. Hallelujah. If you are too anxious and too hasty, you will land up to get things from different sources, which will put more demons in your life, which will put demons and problems in your life. Hallelujah. So let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, I ask you, even at the release of thy word, I pray that faith will arise. Hallelujah. Faith will arise in your people. Hallelujah. And Lord, I so much, Lord, learn from that woman who had the issue of blood flow, Lord, from 12 years, Lord. And the Bible so clearly says that she went to doctors. She spent all her money, Lord, on medicines, on treatment, but she was not well. But yet she did not become bitter. She was not complaining. She did not go to Jesus to meet Jesus personally to tell all the problems. But she said, only if I could touch the hem of his garment, I will get healed. Father, let us have that faith, Lord. Let us forget about our situation and let us believe that only if I can tap in his presence, only if the Lord will allow me to come close and become intimate with you, I will be well. Hallelujah. Let your people have faith. Let faith arise in the lives of your people, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, I know you have gifted people here with the gift of healing. Father, I ask you that you will give them the faith that they will start to operate in the gift of healing. Not necessarily they need a pulpit, but even when they are at their, in their home, Lord, when they go on the streets, Lord, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, that they would meet people, Lord, and Lord, minister healing minister the gospel of Jesus Christ to those people, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, let your people arise and function in the gift of healing, Lord. Lord, moreover, Lord, we need the gift of healing to be ministered. Lord, many of them are evangelists, Lord. You have ordained them, Lord, to win cities and villages, Lord. I pray that you will send them there, Lord, that through them, those cities, villages, those peoples will get healed and they will come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Father, let your people operate in the gifts of healings, Lord. Oh, Lord, and moreover, Lord, that they will have the knowledge, the right knowledge now about the gifts of healings, Lord. And I ask you, Lord, anyone in this place who was a victim of demonic healing, Lord, I break the hold of darkness upon that person. Deliver that person in the name of Jesus and have mercy upon that person, Lord. Renew that person's heart in Jesus' mighty name, that he or she will seek you, Lord. Hallelujah, Father. And Lord, we give you all the praise. We give you all the honor. Father, we just want to thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father, for this wonderful time. And we just want to cover all the families, all the people here, even those who were not able to make it tonight. I cover them with the blood of Jesus Christ and that you will bring them in the coming meetings on the weekend, on Saturday and Sunday meeting, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you will stir up the hearts of your people to seek more of you, to hear your voice in the mighty name of Jesus. Once again, we give you praise and in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.